This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rome.
Praise God. It is another beautiful day. Thank you for tuning into Global Radio today. Today I want to share with you an exuberant minister. But first I want to tell you, I have been involved and witnessed great ministries, healing, miracles, and deliverance. Now, not all people can say that. In fact, in the area where I'm at, in the churches in my area, this does not happen. It sort of happens. But out in the real ministry world, forgive me, I have witnessed miracles in Dr. James Maloney's ministry, Catherine Coleman's ministry. I've seen them, I've touched them, I've been involved, I've been praying there, I witnessed them right in front of my eyes. But in every ministry, there is a personality of the minister that comes through. And the environment is surrounded with the presence of God and filled with the presence of God, but their expressions and actions, well, they can be quite different. Dr. Maloney has an appearance of an angel to his right. He gets a vision. He then tells the person about what happened, and then there's a miracle. With David Hogan, this experience just happens. It's just like, wow, it's spontaneous. In Catherine Coleman, there is a presence that would settle over the audience. And then there would be a miracle that she would have a word of knowledge up in the balcony. Somebody's being healed. A kidney is being replaced. And then, of course, today, our guest today, Norval Hayes, it is another thing. He experiences such things when people need deliverance. He'll say, come out of him, talking to a spirit, come out of him. And, well, he's different. And you're going to enjoy his ministry today. You're going to realize that there's more to experience in the life and ministry of God and his Holy Spirit in your life. Norval Hayes' message today was sent to me by Marion Vanderwell. She lives in the Netherlands. She's been on our program. Here's Norval Hayes.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bow your heads, please. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come before you tonight, and we know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we know that you don't ever have any sad days. And we thank you, Lord, for thy word, because the word is truth, and you said the truth will make you free. Now I pray for the people that they will open up their spirits and minds to receive God's word and understand that you are a loving God and that you are a faith God. Help us to receive tonight what thus saith the Lord God to this congregation tonight. And we'll give you the praise and glory for everything that's done in our midst. And I believe tonight, Father, that great things are going to be done in our midst, all over the different parts of the world. And I praise you for it in advance, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, and
amen.
Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, you know, it's just amazing how the Holy Spirit works and what God wants done. It's absolutely just startles me sometimes, the way God works and what he wants done and how he wants it done. On my way home last night after the service, as you know, if you were watching on the screen, the Spirit of God, when I called for an invitation last night and the people came down, the Spirit of God told me to call a girl up here. I kind of hesitated because we're on a national hookup, you know, in different parts of the world. But he drew me to her again. So when I called her up here and I obeyed him, and she was standing here, and the Spirit of the Lord healing her, the anointing of God came upon her, and she just fell on me, and she just fell backwards, and God just anointed me heavy and quickly. And I knew from the way he did it, you know, if you do this for years, you can kind of tell some things. You can't figure out God in everything, but you can kind of tell some things, and I knew it wouldn't last long. That's the reason when the anointing of God is on you, it's better to get your hands on somebody then while the anointing is on you Because while the anointing is on you, somebody can get a complete healing that moment just from the anointing. It can just penetrate through your body, just whoosh, like the wind. You know, God comes real quick sometimes, just like the wind. Now, I used to didn't know what it was. I had to ask the fellow that basically trained me in healing. I used to ask Brother Littlefield, what is this in my hands? What is this in my hands? I felt like my bones are going to jump out of my fingers. He'd say, that's the healing power of the Lord. Come over here and lay your hands on this woman. She's been sick for a long time. And I'd go lay my hands on her. I did that for quite a while. And I was up in Pennsylvania speaking one night, and a deaf man approached me in service. And the Lord said, cast that deaf spirit out of him. And I said, in Jesus' name, you foul deaf spirit, come out of him. And he fell flat on the floor just like you'd shot him. He gets up and starts laughing. And he laughed. He'd been deaf for 30 years, and he'd been looking at his watch for 30 years, but he'd never heard his watch tick before. And he was laughing because the watch was ticking. Well, I guess that would be funny for somebody been looking at it for 30 years but never heard it tick before. I said, you mean you can hear your watch tick? He said, yeah, I can hear my watch tick. I said, well, maybe you better pray for me. Well, now don't laugh. Sitting there, can you hear your watch tick? Oh, you can? You hear it right now ticking? Uh-huh. You see what I mean? I tell you, when God heals ears, he heals them, don't he? I prayed for a woman here a while back, laid my hands up on her, and she couldn't, she was 75% blind, and God totally gave her eyesight back, and she could read without glasses. It's amazing, you know, what God does for you. Just restore things, just restore them like that. It's amazing what the Spirit of God can do and how he does it. But last night I was going home. I was going home, and it began to come to me. You know, I set you free, son, because I taught you to laugh at the devil. Just began to come to me last night. Then I come in tonight, and I saw this on the screen, those puppets laughing at the devil. And I remember ministering to you last night about the checkbook. But I didn't put enough emphasis to please God on the laugh. I mentioned it to you, I think, three or four times about how the checkbook, you know, and I'd walk and I confess thousands of dollars in there. And I said something about last night, maybe two or three times, about the laughing part. But the Lord moved up on me last night and just let me know, you didn't put enough emphasis on the laughing part. He said, most people that are broke and sick and brokenhearted, he said, they're sad. And he said, they'll stay broke as long as they're sad. You didn't put enough emphasis on the laughing part. I said, well, amen, praise the Lord. Is that right? And you feel like a failure, you know, when you start home. You know, it's awful to go in your motel room and begin to take your clothes off and get ready for bed. And God says, you didn't obey me tonight. I was healing a woman out in the congregation, and I showed you I was healing her. Why didn't you have her stand up so the healing power of God could be expounded and be exalted, and so it could flow over the congregation? You didn't obey me. I want you to have the woman stand up. Tell you something else. You go in a room by yourself, and God says, you disobeyed me. Why didn't you do a certain thing in service? If you'd have done that, there'd have been hundreds of people got blessed for that one thing. You just failed to pick up your spirit. It's amazing. We get hung up in our own ways, doing things our own way. See, the Spirit of God don't think like you. Thank God. The Holy Spirit of God that lives inside of you, he don't never think anyway except victory. You have to understand the triune Godhead. God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit the worker here on earth. The Holy Spirit is the only one working here on earth. You either listen to him or you don't get things done. Everything that's done on earth is done by the working of the Holy Spirit, done by him. And he lives inside of you. People ask me sometimes, says, why don't the Holy Spirit do more for me than what he does? I said, because he don't agree with you. You're just too dumb for him. I said, he agrees with the Bible. He don't agree with you. He agrees with the Bible. Well, I don't know. I don't have no more faith than what I have. Well, why don't you study God's Word? Read the book of Hebrews and find out what faith is. Then build your faith on God's Word. And quote God's Word and believe God's Word. And you'll find out what the Holy Spirit will do for you. He can't get no permission from heaven to do anything for you unless the Word of God boils up into heaven. God said, remind me of the scriptures that you're standing on. Remind me. You can say, well, I'm believing God. Well, God don't know if you're believing him or not. Just believe in God in general, like you say, well, I'm trusting the Lord. Well, God don't know if you're trusting him or not. He don't believe you're trusting him. God may not, he may not move because you're trusting him. Your trusting and believing may be all screwed up. God said, if you're believing me, remind me of the word that I've already said. Remind me of the scripture in what you're believing. It's not good enough for you to just believe God in general. Oh, well, I believe God can do anything. That's not 15 cents worth of nothing. Pick your scripture out if you want the Holy Spirit to perform it. The Holy Spirit's not going to perform anything for you. You go around saying, well, I believe God can do anything. Well, the Holy Spirit, he knows you're stupid. But he's not stupid. He can't perform because you haven't said anything. All you're doing is passing the buck. I believe God can do anything. Well, the Holy Spirit don't even know what you mean. God is a personal God. Jesus is a personal Jesus. The Holy Spirit lives in your belly, and he wants to perform things for you personally. And unless you tell God the scripture you believe, how can the Holy Spirit help you? God, I'm believing Matthew chapter so-and-so and verse so-and-so, and then quote it to God, say, it's written for me personally, and I've got it, bless God forever, I've got it in Jesus' name. It's mine. God, it's mine. I got it. It's mine. I got it. Now, if you'll do that, the Holy Spirit will be listening to you, and when you say that, he'll begin to perform it for you. But my brother and sister, you might as well get your head out of the mud and learn to accept the truth. The Holy Spirit just cannot help you to any degree unless you're going to stand boldly and ruthlessly upon God's Word. The Holy Spirit has not been sent here to agree with you. You know, you must know by this time he's not that confused. He's not that messed up to agree with you. The Holy Spirit has been sent here to perform the Bible. To perform God's Word. He'll perform every chapter and verse in the book of Matthew for you if I can talk you into having faith in it. If I can talk you into believing that and talk you into showing God that you have faith in the chapter and verse, I'm telling you that the Holy Spirit will give it to you. He will totally give it to you. Jesus told me, I told you the other night about him taking me to heaven out of my body. And he told me then. I've been praying for 3 or 4 years for those growths to get off of my daughter's body. If my daughter's watching this on by satellite in Tennessee, she knows I'm telling you the truth. I prayed for years and nothing didn't happen. But when the Lord pulled me out of my body and swept me as quick as you could bat your eye, all of a sudden, I guess just like Paul talked about, all of a sudden there I was in paradise. I mean, all of a sudden. Just slipped me out of my body, and all of a sudden there I was somewhere in another world, wherever God was, and God began to talk to me with a voice and began to tell me, those, you're putting up with those growths on your daughter's body. You shouldn't put up with them. How long are you going to stumble around in darkness and put up with those growths on your daughter's body? How long? Are you going to stumble around in darkness and put up with those ghosts on your daughter's body? I said, God, I don't know what you mean. I've been praying for 3 years. I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit for years, and I've been praying for years, Jesus, for you to remove them. He said, I haven't heard you curse those ghosts like I cursed the fig tree when it died. If you want those gross knots to die on your daughter's body and disappear, he said, you use that scripture that I use, and you use my name, and you curse the roots of those growths in my name. And if you'll have faith and not doubt me, he said, they will die and disappear off of your daughter's body. But that's the way God talks to you. You don't hear too much of that in Sunday school these days. I said, oh, so that's the way it works. That's the way it works, and it don't work any other way. And you must have faith in that scripture and believe and not doubt. Brother, when I come back to earth, I made haste quickly and went to her, and I cursed the roots of those growths in Jesus' name. My daughter had 42 growths on her body, and I cursed them in Jesus' name, been on there for years. And I said, you die in Jesus' name, and get off of my daughter's body in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, just like the fig tree died, but he cursed it. 40 days later, believing 40 days and 40 nights, in the cool of the evening, God came and visited my house and went, whoosh, and went over my daughter's body, and all of a sudden, as quick as you could bat your eye, every growth on her body disappeared, and new skin where it was split and bleeding, all of it closed up, and brand new skin came over her, just whoosh, all over her body. It so scared her, she ran into the wall. And she says, Daddy, 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 look at me. Look at me, Daddy. Look at me, Daddy. Look at me. She says, this scares me. Daddy, this scares me. She says, look at me. Look at me. I got new hands. I got new arms. I got new legs. Look at me, Daddy. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. And that's the way God works. And he'll come to your house, and he'll pass over your body and knock that cancer out of it, knock those growths off of it, put new blood in your body, make your body strong. Jesus is the best surgeon in all the world. But if you think that he's going to come to your house and do that through slipshod believing, and faith when you want to, I believe him today, but I don't believe him tomorrow, and all this kind of stuff, I got news for your dumb head. He is not coming. Do you understand that? If you don't, you better understand it. He's not coming. But I've also can turn it around and flip it over, just like flipping a record over. If I can talk you in to bypassing your natural mind, not having one day up and one day down, one day believing, one day this, one day sad and one day glad, that's a bunch of the stuff from the devil. If I can talk you into every day of your life, just pick a scripture that covers your case and zero in on it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth and say the written word of God is perfect and it is mine. It's been written perfect and it's mine. And the blessed Holy Spirit of God is perfect and he'll work for me. And I've claimed it in Jesus' name. It's mine. And tell God just exactly what you're believing on. Tell God, quote it to him, chapter and verse, and say, then God, it's mine. These words come out of your mouth, oh God, and they are mine. I'm claiming them personally just for me, Jesus. They are mine. I've got it in Jesus' name. They are mine. I've got it. I know that you're a personal Jesus, and I know you love me, Jesus. This is what you said, and remind him of what he said, and then claim it that it's yours. Claim it that it's yours. Claim it that it's yours. Now listen to me. Churches all over the world, in this congregation here in Dallas, you listen to me closely. If I can talk you into doing that with every weak spot in your life, hunt a scripture to cover it, and you'll do that every time, every weakness in your life, I promise you that Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, will come to visit you, and you'll have total victory in that area.
Hallelujah.
Total victory. Now, I'm going to be real honest with you so you can understand it real clear. And you might as well know this. I love you, my brother and sister. I love all the pastors out there. But I opened up the Bible this afternoon in my room and began to study for tonight. And the Spirit of God fell on me supernaturally. this afternoon, God visited me in my hotel room supernaturally. And the anointing of God is on me so strong right now, I can't hardly talk. And God loves you with everything that's in Him. But if you don't show great respect for His Word, you're going to be just like the children of Israel and keep on stumbling around in darkness trying to find the light. But by the precious blood of Jesus that's been shed for you, and the straps on His back that's been put on there for you, it is so easy, my brother and sister, for you to have victory if you just listen to Jesus and listen to what the Scriptures has already promised you. I didn't ask God for this ministry. I was perfectly happy in the ministry of helps, helping other people's ministry. But when the Spirit of God moved on me, I was happy in that little church I told you about in Cleveland, Tennessee. They let me come there and learn about God. And I was happy there in the ministry of helps. I didn't have to have no public ministry. I didn't ask for it. But Jesus moved on me and said, "Son, I want you to study my word and the subject of faith. And I want you to go teach my people what I've taught you." There is victory for them. There is victory for them in every area. And I want you to teach people to have faith in my word. Have faith in my word. Have faith in my word. And tell them it's up to them to study my word and show themselves approved and dig all the riches of glory out of my word. It's all in there from Matthew through Revelation. It's in there for them. But each individual, you're responsible for your own body. You're responsible for your own family. You're responsible for your own life, my brother and sister. And God's got victory for you, and it's all in the word of God. All of it. Every bit of victory is in the word of God for you. But you're going to have to take time. Come away from your busy schedule. You're going to have to get in the Word. And when you find victory for yourself in the Word, you're going to have to stand boldly and have faith in that Word. You just cannot afford, my brother and sister, to go to church and put a little money in the offering and do your own thing and do your own thing. And well, I hear the preacher preach. And well, walking through the door on Sunday morning and shake the preacher's hand. Well, I enjoyed your sermon. I did that for years for Dr. Pruitt at the First Baptist Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. I shook Dr. Pruitt's hand for years. And I did enjoy Dr. Pruitt's messages. Dr. Pruitt did love the Lord. I was setting his messages in the First Baptist Church, and the tears were streaming down my face. And I could feel a power way off somewhere. I didn't know anything about God. I felt a power way off somewhere drawing me. The Lord wanted me, and I was afraid of it, and I would run. I'd run the other way. Sometimes the Lord would come and visit me, and I was afraid of it, and I'd run the other way. I don't know why men are so rebellious against the call of God upon them, because it's a supernatural manifestation. God's a supernatural power, and I guess they get afraid of it. The reason they run from God all the time. But the Lord Jesus is so precious to want to give you everything. He can hardly wait to heal you. The Lord Jesus can hardly wait to give you exactly what you need. Because He loves you so much. If you have your Bibles, the first chapter of the book of James, we'll continue on. The subject of you having faith in God with no wavering. To the 7th verse, first chapter of the book of James. "For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways." And God don't want you to be double-minded. He wants you to trust Him every day and every night. God doesn't want you trusting Him today and trusting the devil tomorrow, trusting Him today and trusting yourself tomorrow. God wants you to trust Him every day. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if I can talk you in these of believing God's Word, your defeated days are over. Your defeated days are over. Totally over. Defeated days. I'd already made a success in my life in my 20s when the Lord came to visit me. I already made it. And I had a double mind too. All the time I'm at the First Baptist Church, I had a double mind. I knew a part of me that God wanted, then the world wanted a part of me, my business wanted a part of me, and I was double minded in my believing, double minded in this, and double minded in that. A double minded man is unstable in all of his ways. I was unstable. Sure, I was unstable. Because I'd never seen Jesus heal anybody. I didn't even know that God healed people in church. I'd been going to church all of my life. I never saw God heal anybody until I went to this little church in Cleveland, Tennessee that I told you about. Faith Memorial Church. I never saw God heal anybody. That's the first place I've ever seen the Jesus heal. I didn't even know God healed people in church. And I was sure he'd never heal anybody through me. Until after I was there for a while, then I began to feel funny in my hands and my bones began to tickle. I was so dumb spiritually, I had to ask the pastor. I says, "What is this in my hands, Pastor? What is this? It feels like my bones are taking a bath." He said, "I said, there's some kind of power in my fingers. There's some kind of power in my fingers. I feel like my bones are taking a bath. Felt like little men in my fingers, brushing them with brushes, tickling them. It felt so good I couldn't understand it. But I found out when I'd lay my hands on sick people, the disease would disappear. Glory be to God. And then after it disappeared, that feeling would leave." I said, "But I'm First Baptist, Jesus." I said, "Surely you wouldn't heal anybody through my hands." You know, God don't care what church you belong to.
Amen.
You can be 23rd Baptist if you want to. God don't care about the name of your church. If you'll give your life to Jesus and believe the Bible, God will heal people through your hands. People that believe in Jesus has a right to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. But you can't, see, you can't learn anything from people that don't know anything. You're going to have to go somewhere, go be delivered from yourself and usually from your relatives and then your friends and just go off somewhere. You don't want your relative to see you go in there. Just go in there and listen and watch. But you might as well make up your mind. It's like staying out of the Bible and trying to get God to do things for you. You can't learn anything about God staying out of the Bible. You can learn what God will do for you if you'll get in God's Word and have faith in it. John would have never learned anything if he hadn't went to a church like that. I would have never learned anything if I hadn't went to a full gospel church. I didn't have any friends that knew anything. You can't learn anything from a bunch of dumb friends.
Amen.
Do you understand that? How can you learn anything from your friends and your relatives because they don't have any more sense than you have? You're going to have to go somewhere where God has a chance to manifest himself and heal people and set them free. And somebody's not ashamed to take authority over the devil and make the devil leave somebody. Because you can't believe, you can't learn anything from people that don't know anything. Or whatever they learn, whatever they know, that's what you can learn. But you can't learn. How can you learn something from somebody that don't teach it if they don't know it? They can't teach it if they don't know it. Let people come in sick, and you tell them all about Jesus, and if they don't come to the altar, that's up to them. But if they come to the altar, they get healed, and then they all have to go home, nobody gets healed, and you tell them all about Jesus. Now, you talk about a shady gospel. That's not Jesus in the New Testament at all. I don't know what kind of Jesus you're talking about, but that's not the one in the New Testament. The one in the New Testament, he can hardly wait till I get my hands on you. He can hardly wait till you come and kneel at his feet and look up to him like the man with the leprosy and say, "Jesus, I know you can heal me, Jesus, if you will. I know you can heal me, Jesus." That man with the leprosy was looking for him. And the Bible says immediately, God's power passed over him and all the leprosy disappeared. New skin up on him. Why? Because he was looking for Jesus the healer. Jesus the healer, looking for Jesus the healer, Jesus the healer. My precious mother in heaven tonight, she loved Jesus, but she wasn't looking for Jesus the healer. That's the reason she died with cancer at the age of 37. She wasn't looking for Jesus the healer. Nobody ever told her that Jesus would heal her. How could she be looking for him? You can't look for Jesus the healer in church where he's not allowed to heal anybody.
Thank you for listening to our program today. Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life.